Fear stops us from achieving our true greatness. Are you a professional woman who is feeling stuck, unmotivated, or burned out? Are you worried about your wellness? Are you letting fear stop you from crushing your goals? If you answered yes to any or all of these, then this is the podcast for you. Dr. Charmaine Gregory, night shift emergency physician, burnout thriver, and wellness champion, along with everyday heroes just like you, will explore how to face fear in our lives and emerge victoriously.
Hello, Fearless Freedom Tribe. You guys, oh my goodness. We have Dr. Erin Wiseman here today with us, and she is going to be chatting us up about all things awesome because she is an amazing, amazing coach. She helps professional women like ourselves, particularly physicians, to overcome burnout, figure ways around, just complete awesomeness. So, Erin, you have got to tell everybody what you're up to.
Sure. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to be back on Fearless Freedom. I know it was one of the earlier episodes, but man, a lot has happened since things are going. So I've been rocking and rolling in the physician life coaching world. It's just been phenomenal to start seeing these little waves of change of like, oh, maybe doctors do need to take care of themselves. Oh, maybe a happy doctor is a productive doctor. Oh, maybe if we actually pay people what they're worth, then they'll want to stick around and not go other places and get tremendously burned out. So it's been really exciting. 2019 has been a year for me of not coming up with new messages or trying to like make things glittery and fancy, but just like pounding the same message to the physicians that you are not alone in how you feel. And if you feel this way, listen to it. And also to tell people like help is possible. It's available to you. More and more of us are jumping into this role and more of us are fighting back against the traditional institution. Like, if you want to be happy and you want to love the work that you do, you can get there. And so it's just been really excited to just keep like saying that message and going out there and getting more people in my tribe who are seeing this and who are moving forward. And man, my podcast, Doctor Me First, it has totally blown up.
Oh yeah, girl, it sure has.
It has been so good. And it's actually even starting to circulate among like the GME level. So residencies and program directors are now coming to me and being like, okay, so my residents are burned out, evidently. Will you come help us? Or, you know, the question I usually get is, well, how do we help our residents not get burned out when they go into practice? And I want to say, they already burned out. Let me come help you now so they can have the skills moving forward to live great and wonderful lives. So that's kind of what I've been doing. On the medical side, I'm still doing a lot of fun things. I mean, I practice how I want to, and that's what I really install with my people who I work with is like, figure out what you really love. Figure out what in medicine really turns your crank, and then we're going to go create that for you. No more looking on LinkedIn or Indeed trying to match yourself up to these job descriptions. There is a place for you. And so I've been really, really infused with joy to help people through transitions because so much of what we're dealing with and like when you finally acknowledge like, hey, things are not right, it's the fear of that transition. Like, oh my God, how am I going to get to their side? So I do a lot of talk with people talking about bridge jobs. Like this is not going to be your forever thing. This is just getting you from one side over to the other. And then when we get to the other side, guess what? Then we get to start looking around and figuring things out there. So I talk a lot about that. I talk a lot about going through transitions because I don't think anyone has really ever taught me how to do that well. So I'm working with other people and talking about like, okay, that first step is deciding you're going to step onto the bridge. Like you have to purposely do that. And then the next thing is as you get across the bridge, across your transition, like when you're in the middle and that midway point, you're like, oh, I could go back or I could go forward. And it's purposely deciding which direction you're going to keep going in. And then after you get across that transition, you know, making sure you're looking back and being like, wow, I did that, and not rushing on to the next thing.
Yeah, no, that's that's amazing, guys. I don't know if you guys are like picking up what Erin is talking about here, but Dr. Wiseman's hitting some major points. And congrats, my dear, on all of the successes. It has been awesome watching your trajectory over this past year and seeing how things have just been blossoming for you. And I love it that GME is starting to take notice and coming to you to get advice, because I think that is much needed. And it's
well, girl,
it's a huge
I've been
step.
Standing there like knocking at their door for years now. Like, I'm only 5 years out of
like
residency.
That, though. It's crazy.
So I've been talking about, like, since I felt like I got out and I could actually retrospectively look back and be like, ooh, maybe that wasn't as good as what they told us it was. I've been just standing at program doors and being like, hey, I'm here. And it's so nice now with the ACGME, you know, they came out with some new wellness initiatives in 2017. And so now we're starting to see the trickle down from that. And I'm really excited that they'll continue to keep modifying that, because it is time that we start teaching our trainees and treating our faculty and our attending physicians like humans. Like, when is it ever okay to cap people's hours at 80 hours a week? It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, medicine, man. That's the deal right there. Hey, I'm talking from someone who saw both sides. When I started training, literally, they were just adopting that 80-hour week. And so I got a glimpse of the 100-plus hour, you know, week and the other. So I get it. It is not very humane at all. But you know,
well, you know, that's the hardest thing right now.
Change is gonna take some time.
Oh yeah. And I mean, I think it's moving in the right direction. Of course, I'm a pusher, so I want to go faster, but you know, so much of it I see, since we're talking about fearless freedom, is the fear of kind of the institution. Like, oh, what if we change? Are the quality of our trainees coming out going to be as good as what we've perceived in the past? And I almost challenge them and say, no, it's actually going to be better. You know, if you take these kids, these adults that are coming in, treat them well, treat them like humans, foster them, make them better, not just medical knowledge, but as people, then when they leave your program, oh my God, would they not serve the world in incredible ways, instead of being like me? And 6 weeks into my new attending job, when I got out, I was just utterly and crispy with burnout. Like, come on.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I mean, yeah, wow. That was actually pretty quick for you. So it must have been obviously building while you were in training. Like, so it's interesting because everybody's story is a little different. You know, because like for me, it was like, you know, I didn't know about it. I didn't realize it was happening. And it didn't happen until like maybe year 8 out, maybe year 7 out. But yeah, now it's happening earlier and earlier. And if people are unaware of it. And then the other thing too, though, to address and to put out there is that I also hear from the residents and I hear from, you know, trainees that the answer is not another yoga class or another meditation session.
Hell no.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, we've talked about this, Erin. Like, you know, like we're all about like the structural changes, right? I mean, that's really what's going to make the difference in this whole effort. But, you know, when sometimes when you get approached, I don't know if this has happened so far when you've been approached, but sometimes when you get approached, the thought is that you're going to give like a quick fix. Like you're going to say,
yep,
here, just do this, when it's much more complicated than that. And it requires some broad stroke changes from the institution, you know, to make sure that, you know, the elements are in place that's going to set people up for success. Because you can't
Absolutely.
Pull somebody out and say, hey, meditate for 5 minutes and then push them back into the war zone. I mean, that doesn't work. You know what I mean?
No, so, absolutely. And that's, yeah. I talk a lot about that. Like, I am one that I say, and you can bleep me if you need to, fuck resiliency training, because we are as resilient as they come. And I am so tired of programs pushing that. Like, the trainees, the physicians you have, they already come with an amazing amount of resilience. If they wouldn't have gotten through medical school if it hadn't been for, I think so we need to get over saying like we need to make people quote unquote more resilient. Cause to me, that's just like, we need to put another layer of armor on. Exactly right. It goes back to system and culture changes within organizations. Personal coaching, what I do one-on-one, yes, it does help an individual. It gets your mind in the right space so that then you can go and fight. And it is, it's a fight right now to push on systems and push on the culture for which you are working in, because they aren't healthy right now.
No.
When you walk into an emergency room and nobody's peed in 10 hours, including your nurses and your techs, not just your physicians, when it's socially acceptable to sit and eat at your computer because you've got to get your dictation done while trying to take care of patients, it's just not appropriate. And, you know, we've had plenty of studies that show 12-hour shifts are harmful to people. But yet that is the status quo right now that we continue to lay on. And so, no, there is some component that, yes, we ourselves have to be well and healthy, but the lion's share, the majority share of it is getting these systems to say, we have to make a change. Because guess what? What happens the day that we all finally admit that we're burned out and we're taking sabbaticals? I mean, things will shut down.
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, no, that's true. And it's funny because, like, you know, there are other places in the world where people function just well, you know, just very well. I mean, I know that there is a big outcry currently, like in the UK, in regard to burnout and for other reasons. But, you know, like I look at Australia and I'm like, okay, an emergency doc in Australia, they don't have that bad a lifestyle. You know what I mean? Like they're doing the things, they're seeing all the critical people and they're doing all the stuff, but they know to take breaks. They know to like integrate wellness into their day. And it just makes a better physician. And it also allows for longevity to happen. Whereas a lot of people at this point are like, you know, I'm looking at what is my exit strategy or how can I like you said, you
retire
know, create
early,
a life by design. Yeah, retire early.
Get
like
a side
the whole
gig.
FIRE movement. You know, it's the whole to get in the side gig. Like, you know, I'm like notorious for that. But, you know, it's like, you know, this is just so many things that we never envisioned when we started medical school and we made a decision that we wanted to help people by becoming a physician. Like, that was never a consideration. And then now it's like a common thing. Like, it's like, okay, well, what can I do besides medicine or what else can I do?
And it's because it's almost
pull back on hours.
It's almost a protective measure because you realize that medicine's not sustainable. Don't get me wrong. Side gigs. That's how I started. That's how life coaching for me started, as a side gig. And then it became the real time deal. And so I'm not opposed to that. But that's exactly what I'm trying to combat, is to say, let's make medicine sustainable for all people. Let's stop like chewing up our doctors and spitting them out and then trying to get a whole new fresh crop in so that we can chew them up and spit them out. So I always use the illustration when I was really in the middle of the grind. I felt like during my day, like before I walked into the office of the ER, I was like taking a big breath and then like jumping down to the bottom of the swimming pool. I'm talking about like the deep end. And all day I was holding my breath and swimming in the deep end. And, you know, then that second, like that I'd get to go pee, that was like coming up to the surface, taking a breath, going back down again. And like just that pressure and that the force of the whole day. And then when I was able to change my schedule, instead of having to jump in the deep end, you know, most days when I had some days off, it was like, I was actually able to breathe and I was outside of the water and got dried off. And so what I work with people is like, if you really like the deep end and you like going down and being under that pressure and you get that like that scuba diving high off of it, great. But you have to come up to the surface sometime. You've got to have that break. And if you're like me, when I was like, I didn't like that. I wanted to go like lap swim on the other side of the pool. That was like my jive. But I had to learn and I had to have the courage to stand up and say, this is not me. This doesn't feel good to me. This is not where I thrive. I need to go thrive over in the lap swimming side, not over here in the deep end with all this big pressure. And I think we just need to acknowledge that and tell people it's okay. find your lane, whatever that is, and let's help you thrive in that. Specifically for female physicians. Like, if you work 2 days a week and that's your lane and you excel in that, girl, you go. And I wish that more organizations would see that as, you know, not having a doctor at all and just having her 2 days a week. It's not just, you have an extra doctor 2 days a week. Why do you not see that advantage of that, having no doctor at all?
Yeah,
so
no,
I think it's just so
right.
important. So important that we acknowledge that there's got to be a different way of doing things. And we need to acknowledge that we're all different in that. And that, you know, that's why there's so many specialties and subspecialties and group types, clinic types, patient population types, that if we would let people flourish, I mean, there's some studies that show right now in a physician's work week, if they do 20% of their time, so say they work 5 days a week in a traditional model, 1 day a week, they did what really lit their heart on fire clinically. Be it, maybe they love doing pap smears. I don't know. Maybe they love derm procedures. Maybe they love going throwing chest tubes in people. Whatever that is, if you give them 20% of their allotted time to that passion that they have, it negates burnout in the other 80% of their work.
I can see that. Yeah, makes sense.
And for some people, that may be going and working in an underserved
clinic
setting.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but it doesn't take a lot. And like you said, as far as like adding in extra yoga classes and meditation, that's not going to fit everybody. Let's just be perfectly honest.
It isn't.
And so it's a multi-complex issue.
Yes,
so we need to have multi-complex solutions.
Correct.
And we need to have the flexibility to say, you do you, you use what you need to use for your own health and wellness. And you know what? If that's a half day admin time where you can actually go and do the things that you need to do rather than sitting in your office charting, that's what needs to happen.
No, I agree. I totally agree with you. This is the reason why it is a huge like uphill battle with the education piece of it, because that is just not, I mean, that is thinking outside of the box, right? I mean, medicine is a track that is a linear track. It does not turn curves. It does not like, you know, you don't have like the arrow that does all of the swirly swirls. It doesn't do that. It's like a linear thing. So whenever you're introducing something, a concept that deviates from that, it's always like an uphill battle trying to get it through and get it accepted by the house of medicine. So yeah, no, I just gotta keep fighting. Just gotta keep fighting and keep educating.
Absolutely. Because one day it'll be status quo. I'm
correct.
Sure.
Yeah.
And with my
hopefully in our lifetime. Hopefully.
I was gonna say I'm gonna make it that way.
Hopefully in our lifetime. Oh, because that would be really bad. But yeah, no, and I don't want anyone who's listening to this who is not in medicine, because I know there are a lot of people listening who are not in medicine or maybe are entertaining and getting themselves involved in the healthcare arena, please do not be discouraged. Just know that change is afoot and you could be part of the revolution. You could support the revolution if you're not going to be directly part of it, because it will benefit us all, basically.
Oh, girl, no. I mean, I love what I'm doing now in medicine. Can say I'm definitely not burned out anymore, and I'm still a doctor, and I'm still practicing, and I'm life coaching. So yeah, that hope and inspiration, it's totally there for you. I would just encourage people who are thinking about maybe going into medicine, just stay awoke, stay aware. Don't get put in a box that you don't feel comfortable in or that you know doesn't fit you. And for the people who are not in medicine, burnout's real everywhere.
That's
correct.
I
have an attorney come coach with me. I've got an accountant, some teachers. I mean, it's perpetuating through our society. And I think where that comes from is just we have allowed stress levels to elevate to the point where people are just done. I mean, our human body was not created to be like this. And we've just let the awareness of our surroundings, the mindfulness of our day just slip away. And what I tell people, you know, like at the end of the day, who are you living your life for? Are you living it for your job and the people you take care of? Or are you living it for yourself? Because I don't know about you, but at night I go to sleep by myself. Even though my husband's laying next to me in my bed, It's still me. It's still my life. It's still what I have to go to sleep with at night. And so, yeah, maybe it is a little self-serving. But let me tell you, at the end of the night, I want to know that I can put my head on my pillow and say, well done.
No regrets.
No regrets.
Mm-hmm. No, makes sense. Makes sense. So, you know, you talked about a lot of things. Like you talked about how you would basically knock on the door of GME offices and try to encourage them to take your help. You also talked about, you know, your transition from, you know, totally clinical to a life now that you have designed. No, I know that there has to be some fear associated with any of those steps along the road. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure, I can talk about that. Yeah, absolutely. There's a whole lot of fear. Fear of like, oh my God, am I making a huge mistake? Fear of what if this doesn't work? Fear of what if I have to go back? You know, talking about from the life that I was to what I'm trying to create. And you know what I've really learned with this is I've kind of started talking to fear as if it was a person, just like my own children or my family or friends. And like, so when fear shows up in my life and how I feel it is like in my upper chest, you know, in my neck is when I know I'm getting really fearful or fears there, is that I'm like, fear, I see you and I know you're here, but I don't understand the reason. And I try to ask it to maybe show it to me. And the other thing, too, is I talk to fear as if it was like, as you can hear my dog barking upstairs, if it was my little dog, and say, fear, I see you. I know you're here. I know you're looking out for my best interest. I know that in the past, maybe I've let you down. But for right now, we're going to try it this way. And I want you to come along with me. I'm not going to lock you up in the trunk. Instead, I want you to sit in the back seat of the car and just go on the ride with me and see how this turns out. And that to me helps like placate that fear, at least bring it under tolerable levels to be like, it's not abnormal to have fear and to be fearful at times. But what is abnormal if you continually push that fear away and it just builds up and it builds up and it builds up. And then eventually that door, or that trunk door like pops open. It's like crazy amounts of fear, like to panic attack mode. And so I've just learned to just embrace, like, there's going to be things in my life that fear is going to be one of the emotion that comes along with it. Also, joy comes along. Also, excitement comes along, you know. And so just embracing both, like, what we would call, like, positive emotions with, quote, unquote, negative emotions. And just saying, I'm embracing all emotions as they are and working through that. It really helps build that confidence muscle, like, that, okay, I did this with fear, you know, and because I don't think you ever really get rid of fear. Like, I don't care what you do. Every time I do a speaking engagement, I still have fear that comes up.
The fear never goes away.
Every time I launch a new podcast episode, I still have fear. And I just launched 108. So, I mean, it's like, I just learned like fear is going to be a part of my life. So I might as well have a healthier relationship with it rather than what I used to do, which was try to like push it away or pretend it didn't exist. And then it seemed like when I pretended it wasn't there, it would like come back 1,000 times harder.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's I like that you personify it. That's great. Or I don't know what you would consider it an animal. Yeah. Is it personified?
Animal.
If it's an animal, I don't know what you call that. Yeah. But yeah, no, that's good because then it makes it less scary. and then you're more apt
to
do the
thing.
Well,
it helps you get to the root.
Yeah.
To like why it's there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's real. And because like we have so many different kinds of fears that we talk about on the show. So that's good. It's a good way to look at it. You know, it's almost part of like visualization techniques, right? I mean, when you're learning to desensitize yourself from something, you know, you visualizing it as something more positive just puts your mind in a space where you're going to be more accepting of the thing and it allows for you not to let that thing hold you back. So no, that's great. That's great advice. You guys listening? You guys in the tribe listening? I hope you are, because that was a good piece of advice right there.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. And so we have had such a great conversation. I am like super excited that we got you to back on the show again. It's always kind of cool to see like the evolution, like from, you know, early episodes until now, and, you know, to see how much has happened in your life since that time, which has been absolutely incredible and awesome. So we're at that part of the show where we start talking about our fill in the blanks. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Let's fill in the blank. All right, sweet. All right, so the first one is, if I am fearless, I will
push farther, go bigger.
Love it. The next one is, to me, fearless freedom means
living the life I love and continuing along this path with joy.
Awesome. And last but not least, my battle cry is?
Right now it's hashtag better together, because I'm doing a whole rallying thing and trying to build community rather than competition.
Love that. You know, it's interesting that you bring that up, because that is something that like I am a really strong believer in. Like, I'm always like, look, to me, it's better to like encourage and we all lift up together, because we can rise higher with a collective effort than to be in competition with somebody. Because every time that I've been in a situation where there's like that competitive spirit, and not in a positive way. I mean, there's good competition, obviously, because you want to be around people who are going to help you to level up to the next level. So that kind of competition is good. But if you're in the same space as another person, it doesn't behoove you really to be having a negative competitive spirit with that person, because there's so much room on this planet and there's so many people on this planet that like you could be in the same space, and it could just be that, you know, half the individuals or whatever relate better to you and the other half relate better to the other person. And you're both able to help twice as many people, right? Because you're able to help the collective of those two sets versus, absolutely, you know, like fighting for your position in the space. And when you start working together and you collaborate, you start noticing that you can do bigger things and you can make a bigger impact. And you can dream bigger. And it just is such an amazingly positive ripple effect. So I am so encouraged that you said that was your battle cry, because I feel like we need to be believing that. We need to be thinking that way more and more as entrepreneurs, as physicians, as doctors, as lawyers, as whoever we are, as women in particular, because unfortunately women are notorious for not wanting to uplift each other when we should. Right? Because I mean, we're the bomb. And so we should all be the bomb together and just be even more the bomb by helping each other out. So I really appreciate that is your battle cry. So thank you so much for sharing all that awesomeness with the tribe today, Dr. Wiseman. And thanks for coming back on the show. That was pretty awesome. And yeah. We hope to be seeing more great things coming from your side of the world, and just looking for more and more successes coming from you as well.
Well, thank you so much, Charmaine. I think you're absolutely amazing. And yeah, I do believe when you help other people up, when you lift other people up, it's not just helping them, it's helping yourself. And so the opposite is true too. When you try to squash other people or demean other people, you're not just hurting other people, you're hurting yourself too. So if there's anybody out there who has been hanging out in Charmaine's tribe and who hasn't reached out yet or who needs help, I mean, I highly encourage you to do that now. If it's with her, if it's with me, if it's with another guest, now is the time. Like, I can just feel like a ripening that it's there and it's available for you. Or if you hear something that we've said and it really resonates with you, message us. Let us know. We love when we know that our message is your message too. And that's one thing. Whenever I have anybody who contacts me for my own podcast, my one question to them is, how can I support you more? And because that's really what it's about. So if anybody would like to hang out with me, you can find my podcast, Dr. Me First. You can also hang out with me on Instagram, because that's what I love to do right now. And it's at True
Love the Gram.
Yes. Truth Prescriptions or Truth RXS is where you can find me at. And I'm always posting crazy, silly, inspirational stuff on there. And I would just love to get to know other people more. And again, like, ask that question, how can I support you? Because I really feel like as women, we are on the brink of bringing some major change to the world that is so necessary.
Indeed. Well said. And all of Dr. Wiseman's contact information will also be in the show notes, you guys. So in case you didn't get a chance to write it down. All right. Awesome. Well, you have an amazing day. And thanks again for spending time with us.
Anytime, Fearless Freedom Tribe. Anytime.
Thank you for joining us today on this journey. Fear is all around us. It strives to stop us from achieving our greatness. We have the tools to be overcomers. By sharing our stories, supporting each other, and doing self-reflection, we can do this. If you found value in this conversation today, please be sure to subscribe to and share this podcast with your friends. By going to your favorite podcast platform, leaving a review and a 5-star rating, you will help to get the word out about it. And that is much appreciated. Thanks again for spending time with us. I appreciate your time and your attention. It is my hope that you will punch fear in the face today and that you will be strong, be brave, and unleash your greatness.